This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with part three of our winter book series. Today, we'll talk with Christine Sneed, author of the novel Paris, He Said. The book is about a young woman named Jane, an aspiring artist, who leaves her home in New York for the City of Light. I'll let the author introduce her protagonist, as she does at the beginning of the novel.
As Jane made final preparations to leave New York for Paris during the first few days of June, a heat wave turned the sky ashen with trapped pollution and unshed rain. The people she passed on the street seemed more short-tempered than usual, and no one met her gaze other than school children who glanced up at her with innocent apathy. For a long time, she had assumed that poverty or loneliness or both would force her to flee the city, but instead, she had met an older man who invited her to trade Manhattan for his home in Paris. She said yes with little hesitation. The air was dry and the sky free of glowering clouds as her plane landed in the gray northern sprawl of Paris's exurbs at 7:30 in the morning, the highways already pulsing with cars and brightly painted tradesmen's vans. She had not slept on the flight from JFK because she was thinking of the man who waited for her on the threshold of tomorrow morning, someone who sold other people's art after finding it impossible, years ago, to sell much of his own. She was leaving her friends, her native language, her family, her doctor and dentist, her library card, the purposeful little dogs, some dressed in sweaters and plaid coats on winter days that she saw walking with their doting owners on the streets near her apartment. For 6 independent but mostly hand-to-mouth years, she had lived in Manhattan and had not been to Paris since college, 9 years earlier, but she had thought of it every day, as if it were someone important she hoped without reason to become indispensable to. Each quarter had its own manicured parks and public squares, and thousands of Parisians walked or rode bicycles, or took the train to work and to the narrow-aisled stores where they often shopped at the end of the day, filling net bags and small-wheeled carts. When she first saw them as a student, the stately, weathered buildings with their stone facades seemed to encourage romance. She found Paris more serenely beautiful than the other cities she was familiar with, many with fuming smokestacks and superhighways driven like a stake through their thundering hearts. One of the first things she intended to do after her arrival was visit Sacré-Cœur and the hilly northern quarter it presided over and look upon the miles of rooftops descending like stair steps, its spires and soot-darkened chimneys and riverine belt at the middle. At 20, she had stood on the same hilltop and believed without question in her right to everything she desired: prosperity, love, the admiration of friends and strangers, a long and healthy life. She had been in Paris with a group of 4 or 5 other American students, sharing a bottle of red wine, its plastic Monoprix bag poor in slippery camouflage. They were all confident in their glamorous futures as playwrights, painters, concert pianists, and dot-com entrepreneurs, but they remained as unknown now as they had been then.
This is how we meet Jane Marks, an aspiring artist who's struggling to repay her loans from studying art in college. So she takes a steady job in an office in New York. Jane also has a boyfriend, Colin, who's not all that interested in art, which is why Jane seems reluctant to commit to him. After dating Colin for a few months, Jane goes to a gallery called Vie Bohème to see the latest paintings, and there she meets Laurent, one of the gallery's owners. Laurent is an elegant older man from France who also co-owns a gallery in Paris, also called Vie Bohème. Laurent and Jane are immediately attracted to each other. He also becomes interested in Jane as an artist. Describe how Laurent nurtures artistic talent in others.
He pays them to make work, but he's not necessarily expecting it to happen quickly, if at all. And Jane's unsettled by this because she thought she was the only person who he was her benefactor, but he's also her lover. So they have a more complicated relationship than he leads her to believe he has with the other artists that he supports.
Well, once Jane moves into Paris, she lives in Laurent's apartment where he sets up a studio for her. From time to time, Laurent goes away for a while, and when he returns, he sometimes admits he visited one of these other artists, many of whom are women, quite a few of whom are attractive. Now, at the same time, Jane is painting again, and the quality of her work keeps improving. She is also getting male attention, so she has opportunities to step out on her own. Now, all this got me thinking about fidelity and how it relates to artistic expression, and whether there should be any limits to personal or artistic freedom. How much did you consider these questions while writing this book?
Well, I thought about them a lot, and I've never been married, but I've been in a few long-term committed relationships. And I should say that I'm not like my characters. I think if you're very busy out, you know, tomcatting around, if you want to call it that, you're not as likely to be that productive because you're preoccupied with your social life. I find if I'm preoccupied with a new relationship or in the past when I had a big crush on someone, it was really difficult for me to be productive and to concentrate. So maybe there are artists or writers who are inspired by drama in their love lives, but I find it, for me, it's very distracting.
At some point, we learn more about Laurent, and I love the way I discovered this while reading your book. I don't want to give too much away, but we learn what motivates him when dealing with art, with women, and with life. As a writer and as a woman, what was it like to create Laurent and breathe life into this character?
You know, it was a lot of fun to write from the point of view of a male who has a lot of sexual capital and also is in a position to exploit it, but not in a mean-spirited way. I wanted to try to get into his head and understand what motivates him and how he justifies it, I think, is really one of the main things I was thinking about as I was writing him as a character.
Who was your model for Laurent?
You know, I didn't have anyone in mind specifically, but I was thinking about powerful men. George Clooney and Robert Redford when he was younger, someone who has all these options socially and romantically and also professionally. It was just sort of intoxicating to write from that perspective, knowing that you basically can do whatever you want, provided it's not against the law. And even if it were, maybe you'd be able to get out of any, you know, any arrests.
In addition to being a love story between Jane Marks and Laurent Moller, your book is also a love letter to Paris. What's different about falling in love in Paris as opposed to London or New York?
Well, it's in a foreign language, unless you're, you know, a bilingual.
They have a different word for everything over there.
I know, they do. Well, there are some English words that they use. Parking, I think that's what they say for a parking lot. And of course, you can think of a bunch of others, but it helps if you know the language. I think a lot of people that I've talked to over the years who've gone to France, they have mixed feelings about it. If they don't speak the language, they feel really intimidated. But, you know, French people in general, if you're polite, they're going to be nice to you, or at least not rude to you.
Christine Sneed is the author of Paris, He Said. At WNIJ.org, you can hear her read another excerpt from this novel. Christine Sneed, merci, et au revoir.
Au revoir, merci beaucoup.